how to find fresh seafood on the Great Plains, and you won't need a boat. I'm Tom Schein, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from McCowan Gordon Construction, Fidelity Bank, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Coming up, creating art can be a trial and error process. So is finding a way to exhibit your work during a pandemic.
And I've really gotten kind of interested in the ceramics thing lately. And I said, man, there's got to be a way to have a show right now with all the stuff going on.
But first, finding a good steak in Kansas doesn't take much effort. Locating fresh seafood? Well, that's a different matter. Unless, of course, you happen to be driving through Oxford, Kansas and stop by Sunflower Shrimp. That's where Bob Daniels and his wife, Deb, have been growing and selling Pacific white shrimp for more than 4 years. When Bob Daniels started telling people in 2014 he wanted to start a shrimp farm in the middle of Sumner County, the response was what you might expect.
You're going to sell bait, huh? In fact, when we started looking to grow the shrimp, look for some financing, the local banker said, well, you're never going to sell this. Now, it turns out I can't grow it fast enough to sell what people were willing to buy.
Daniels farmed traditional crops for decades near Valley Center. It was his father who first planted the idea about shrimp farming.
Going back many years, my father and I were fishing, and he had pulled out some frozen shrimp that had gone bad. And he said, you know, I think we can grow shrimp. I said, grow shrimp? Why do you want to grow shrimp? He said, I want to feed the world. Okay, well, how are you going to do that, Dan? I'll leave that to you, son.
What he didn't leave were any instructions. Shrimp farming is highly scientific, and just like crop farming, labor-intensive. Daniels is up by 4 every morning to feed the shrimp, the first of 2 feedings for the day. It takes roughly 6 months from when baby shrimp the size of an eyelash arrive to when they grow to 1 ounce and are ready for sale.
We have a tremendous amount of little guys growing there.
I visited Sunflower Shrimp as it prepared for a new batch of baby shrimp to be delivered. They're destined for one of the 9 3,000-gallon saltwater tanks housed in a humid building humming with equipment on Daniels' property.
And then the intermediate tank will hold them until 60 days later when the next shipment comes in and they come out. Then it's just kind of a rotational system. That week is usually pretty big.
Making sure the shrimp grow properly involves dozens of factors, including water temperature, oxygen levels, and barometric pressure. Daniel says he took a lot of chemistry and biology classes when he was a football player at Kansas State. Shrimp farming 101, though, was not available.
As far as the hands-on and learning how to do shrimp, this was learn on the go. It's like building an airplane while you're taking off.
Daniel says he sold all the shrimp he had in March because he knew the pandemic would end his sales to restaurants, including Public at the Brickyard in Wichita. But he's growing shrimp again, and it should be ready to sell in a couple of months. In plenty of time for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Because what would the holidays in Kansas be like without a little shrimp on the barbie?
Yeah, it's a little crazy to grow shrimp indoors, saltwater shrimp indoors in Kansas. That's something that is not done very often. You don't have a handbook at the extension office like you do for wheat or corn.
Today is First Friday, when we like to explore the local art scene. Two Wichita artists thought they'd find a creative way to have a show in the middle of a pandemic. Then, they realized they needed to think a little more inside the box. KMUW's Torn Anderson talked to Mike Miller and Mark Durfee and has this story.
Miller has 3 long-stretching projects. He makes kinetic sculpture, posts photography from his daily walks on his property outside of town, and crafts small ceramics.
And I've really gotten kind of interested in the ceramics thing lately, and I said, man, there's got to be a way to have a show right now with all the stuff going on.
Miller's work is very raw. Unlike most sculptors, Miller does not use tools. He tears the clay by hand. He leaves the pieces unpolished with no finishing agent. They're rough to the touch.
It looks like a piece of tree bark that you tore off and shaped into something. I've gotten to where on some nights, if I'm building little stuff, I can build 6 or 7, 8 things in a 2-hour time period that are done.
Miller's most recent exhibition was in New York. He got home from that right before the pandemic took hold. Miller is not yet comfortable exhibiting in closed-off spaces. Him showing now requires a little more creativity and distance. Miller's friend Mark Durfee agreed to host the exhibit in his front yard.
And so we were sitting in there with the sprinkler on. I have a rainbow-colored parachute, and we had strung that up between the trees, and we were watching that flow and move.
And I was like, this is a cool place to have an art show.
Yeah.
We should do that. It's at the corner of Volusia and...
Morris.
Art is often constructed and deconstructed several times over. Trial and error is what making art is about, or in this case, an art show.
In true Mike Miller fashion, he is like, I've got these 16-foot 2x12s, and I think we should put one end on the tree and cantilever it out into the middle of the yard, making these giant shelves, 12, 16-foot long shelf, right, that just goes out into the yard, you know, and like half of a bridge.
The two built a 16-foot shelf hanging from one of Durfee's trees. The shelf was suspended in the air with Miller's ceramics on it. There was something off about the display that Miller could not articulate. Durfee felt the same.
I just remember figuring out, what is wrong? Like, what doesn't he like about this?
Something was bothering me, and I had no idea what it was. I really didn't know I put all the ceramics away.
Yeah, he put them away kind of quickly, too, which was, I was like,
And then pretty soon it was, oh, I know what's wrong. They're way too small for outdoors. Actually, it was the next day while I was walking that I discovered that, oh, yeah, there's that little garage.
A garage with no door.
And texted you and said, hey, could we do it in the little garage instead?
That's what it was.
Yeah. It took 24 hours to figure out. It's, you know, because I'm wrong 50% of the time.
That was KMUW's Torn Anderson along with artists Mike Miller and Mark Durfee. Check Facebook for more details on their show, Ceramic in Person, 3 days only, and to sign up for a time slot to see the exhibit. And one last thing. 40 years ago this week, I walked into the newsroom of the Wichita Eagle and Beacon for the first time. I was 21 and as nervous as I was excited. I had been in newsrooms before. My dad spent 45 years as a journalist, but this was the start of my own journey. And what a journey it's been. Covering interesting stories while working with interesting people. First for the Eagle, and now for KMUW. It's a job that never gets old. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Today's show was produced by Nadia Foe, Stephen Basaha, Hugo Fan, and Lou Ann Stevens. Torn Anderson composed our theme music. You can find more about the stories you heard today at KMUW.org. I'm Tom Schein, and this is KMUW NPR for Wichita.